Well, we're going to continue on with the series this morning about foundations. We haven't finished that yet, so we'll continue on till we get finished. And I just want you to know that my desire for each one of you in here is to have that firm foundation that Jesus Christ has enabled us to have in our lives. So that in the Christian life, when the winds blow, when the stuff looks like it's falling all around us, whenever tough trials come into our lives, you can stand, just like in the Scriptures it talks about the house that was built on the sand. When the winds came and the waves hit it, it got washed away. But the house that was built on the rock stood firm and was there during the duration of the storm, and nothing could affect it adversely. And so that's my desire for each one of you, is to be firm, even though the winds of adversity will come against each one of us, that you'll be firm in that resolution that Jesus Christ is Lord. Yes. And He's placed in me all things that pertain to life and godliness, and we can walk those things out because that's who you are. And that you receive that new identity in Christ Jesus and walk in it daily, think in it, and say the things out of your mouth that He's placed in your heart, and release those things that are in the spirit realm into your life and also into the lives of other people around you. Because that's the way God operates, and He's in you, and that's the way He operates in and through you. Amen? Does anybody remember what the foundations we've covered so far? Anybody remember? Righteousness. Faith, righteousness was the first one that we talked about. How about the next one? Was it repentance from dead works? Was that the next one? And then faith toward God was the next one, right? And they're all intermingled and tied together, but just like whenever you watch a construction job going on and they put in the footings, which is called a foundation. They put rebar, is steel, that goes through that foundation, and they interlock the rebar together to lock that foundation together so that the whole thing moves as one unit. And so that's the way our lives are. He's interlocking all these different facets of Jesus together in our lives, making that firm foundation. So let's go to our scripture that the foundations is based on. It's in Hebrews, and it's in chapter, we'll start in chapter 5 and read on over into chapter 6, okay? Let's start with verse 12 in chapter 5. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. That's what we talked about first. Faith, righteousness. For he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Chapter 6, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. So, if you read that, we're going in the same order. So today we're going to talk about the doctrine of baptisms. There's a lot of different types of baptisms that are in the Scriptures, but we're going to focus in on three of them, and we're going to cover two today. You're thinking in your mind, well, I didn't know there were that many. Yeah, and there's a bunch of different types of baptisms. And we're going to talk about, first one is the baptisms into Christ by the Holy Spirit. Whenever you're born again, the experience that took place at that time, that we were baptized into the body of Christ. Right? Mm-hmm. What would the second one be? Anybody got any ideas? Water baptism. And the third one would be baptism with the Holy Spirit. Some people call it baptism of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is the one that baptizes us into the body of Christ. And so we're going to look at that. And the intent today in talking about these different baptisms, everything in the Scriptures that indicate as a mile marker or some type of encounter with God, they were monumental. And people made monuments. They called them altars. They set up altars in the Old Covenant. The traditions that were set forth and designated that there would be certain celebrations at certain times of the year. Some were repeated year after year after year. And some are still repeated today in the Christian church. Can you think of one of those things that we participate in today other than baptism in water? How about communion? Yeah, it was ordained by the Lord that we participate in those things. And as you look at this, the key to each one of these things being celebrated is remembrance. A certain thing that we're to remember. It brings to mind what happened as we participate in that event. And we go back through it again each time we think of it. And that's the Lord's way of saying, I want to go back over this again so that you can refresh your mind about what really happened and assure yourself that you are mine and that I am your provider and I am who I say I am and you are who I say you are in me. And refresh that resolve that you have in you, that you're not out there alone, that you're not facing life by yourself. Amen? Amen. So we're going to look at the some scriptures about us being baptized into Christ. Now, a lot of people get hung up on the word baptize or baptism. A real simple definition of that is something being immersed or put into something else. It's real simple. And so that's us being placed into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. It was God's idea. We didn't make up our mind one day, we're gonna do this to ourselves. Remember, everything we're talking about is all our Heavenly Father's idea. He ordained it and says, this is what I want to happen to you. It's my desire. And I want you to participate in it with me. You know, men can't come up with the ideas that God does. I mean, some people think, well, you know, being baptized in water and stuff, that's kind of silly saying, what, you know, why do I need to get dunked? I just had my hair done, right? Well, you women? But the Lord's good, and He has a reason for everything. So let's look at 1 Corinthians 12, first scripture. And we'll put all this together. And I pray that you'll see things maybe in a way that you haven't seen them before, and that these things that we're talking about will become real to you by the revelation of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12 and 13. It says, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. So it's saying that the Holy Spirit, one of His jobs, is to place us whenever we make Jesus Christ our Savior. then it's his responsibility to place us into the body of Christ. Are you seeing this in your mind, how he can place us into the body of Christ? No matter where we came from, no matter what background that we have, no matter what race we are of, but he places us from where we were and we become part of the body of Christ. I don't know about you, but that's an awesome thing to even try to imagine. That's his will. He's the head, we're the body. And it says that Jesus Christ has placed all things under our feet because we are his body, we're the church. He's given us authority and honor, and he's given us his glory to be in that position because of his love for us. And he said, I've set you on high. I don't know about y'all, but it's... and this is the whole purpose of going back over this, is to that firm foundation of your identity is what we're after. That's his idea of reminding us, the remembrance thing of these celebrations of who we are in him, what we have, and what we can do in Christ Jesus. Because he's done it all for us. All we do is we just step over into it. Mm-hmm. And it's ours already. Amen. Every single thing that he's done is ours. Beautiful. Isn't that awesome? So it says that no matter how we started out, whether we're Jews, Greeks, whoever we were, slaves or free, it doesn't matter. We've been all made to drink into one spirit. And that body is composed of many members. And so each member is specific and individual, yet we come together as one body. All of us are different. All of us have different talents and abilities. All of us see things differently. But yet we have become one in Christ Jesus as one body. And we're going to elaborate on that a little bit more as we go through this. Next scripture I want you to take a look at is, if I can read my writing, Romans 6. I don't need glasses either. Amen. Romans chapter 6. Now this whole chapter is about what we've been talking about here. And you'll see it as we read through the scriptures. Romans 6 and verse 3 we'll start out with. It says, or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? That's pretty heavy. The identification that he has with us as men, God became man and dwelt among us. Jesus says that he has died for every man. I'm going to go ahead and jump ahead on me because I can see it in your faces right now. You need more. Let's go on to verse 4. Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So it says that we were buried with him through baptism into death. When he died, it says that we died. And then it says that he was raised. And it says that as he was raised unto life unto the Father, it says that we were raised into life in him also. Whew. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we also shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Verse 11, very important verse. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And it goes on to say that the lifestyle that a person will live once they have the revelation of what we just read. But remember, it's an inside job. It's not a gut thing, an obedience thing as far as I'm going to do it by my will and by my power and my mind. I can make this thing happen. I can change it. I can change the way that I live. It's an inside job. It comes from having that new born-again spirit. Right? And it says that we've been changed from the inside. And your spirit man is dealing with your heart. Your heart is your belief system. And so as your spirit man communicates with your heart, your belief system, it's telling you who you are in Christ Jesus now. And the scriptures are laying it out for us. Amen. As to who you are now in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. So, let's go over to look at Galatians 3. Galatians 3. And this will make more sense to you as we go. Galatians 3, verse 26. For you all are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There it is, something being put into something else. And he's saying that we've been placed on him. Some of the scriptures read that we have been clothed with Christ. We've been placed in him and clothed with Christ Jesus. This next verse here will ring true through everything that I'm going to say today. Verse 28 says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Man, that is a picture that is really mind-boggling to try to imagine what Christ has done on our behalf and enabled us to take part in. But we're gonna go through some more scriptures so that you can see it. Now, did you know that Jesus has prayed for each one of us in this room? He prayed for us, and it's in Scripture. Some of you know where it is, too. Let's go over to John 17. John 17. And it'll reaffirm some of the things that I've already said that were a little bit a stretch to believe that these things are Scripture and that they are true. All right, let's look in verse 20 through 23. In verse 20 it says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, which is us. It says where he's praying for us right here, and it's in red. See that? That they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And here's another one. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them. You ever heard this, the term, God doesn't share his glory with anyone?
Yes.
You know, don't try to take his glory. We can't take it anyway. He's already given it to us. Mm-hmm. You can't take something he's already given. We've received it, yes. Because he wanted us to have it. Glory, one of the definitions is view and opinion. Now, follow me on this one. It says, the glory that he gave Jesus, Jesus gave to us. If you take that definition, view and opinion, what does that say about us? The view and opinion that he has of Jesus, he has shared with us and given that opinion that God has of him to us. So the very same opinion that our Heavenly Father has of Jesus is the very same view and opinion that he has of each one of us today. Mm-hmm. Man. Think about that. If you're having a tough day, you can't dwell on that very long without getting happy. It says in verse 23, I am them and you and me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Not only does he see each one of us the same way, view and opinion of Jesus, but it says that he has loved each one of us the same that he loves Jesus. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Isn't that awesome?
Amen.
I mean, that makes my mind go tilt. I don't know about yours. Mm-hmm. But to just imagine the love that God has for his only begotten Son, and the way that he loves Jesus, it's the same way he loves me.
Yes.
Mm. We're going to make it through. It actually gets gooder and gooder. Oh, man. So, since we've been placed into Christ, we no longer relate to our Heavenly Father of our own being. We relate to him in Christ as Christ relates to him and he to us. Let me say that again. Since we've been placed into Christ in that baptism by the Holy Spirit into Christ whenever we became believers, everything changed. Everything. We became new creatures. We got God's Spirit placed inside of us. The old man died. The old sin nature died. We were resurrected when he was resurrected. And we live the newness of life in Christ Jesus now. And at this moment, even after we did horrible things in our lives that we're not proud of, God still sees us through his Son Jesus. His view and opinion of us is exactly the same that he has a view and opinion and feels about Jesus. And his love for Jesus is the same way, no less, no more, than he loves Jesus. And that's all the time, because it's unconditional. About how we act, how we speak, how we think. Because he sees how Jesus acts whenever he looks at us. He sees how Jesus thinks. He hears his thoughts. And that's what he's thinking of whenever he sees us. Does that make sense?
Amen.
Because we're in Christ Jesus now. We were baptized into him, into his body. So we're part of the body. So you can't separate us now. I like the word homogeneous. It's like if you take ingredients for a cake, and it might be sugar or flour or margarine or, you know, lard, whatever. I don't know anything about cake. I know about eating it, though. But you mix it all up together, and once it's all mixed up and baked, you can't tell all the ingredients in it because you can't separate them. They're all mixed up together, and you can't separate them out anymore. That's how we are in Christ Jesus. Whenever it says that we became one, it means inseparable. Mm-hmm. I want you to understand that. Because He made you one with Him. So we're no longer us over here whenever we're acting right. And we think that we are doing things okay and thinking okay. And we're not separated from Him whenever we have a bad thought. No, we're still positionally the same place. In our minds, that's the only difference. And God doesn't see us any different. He doesn't feel about us any different. And His love for us, whether we're over here or we're over here, doesn't change. What we do or don't do doesn't affect Him. He has chosen to love us and make us one with Him. And He hasn't changed His mind. I hope you're hearing me.
Yes.
This will settle that feeling. Sometimes we go by emotions. Mm-hmm. Just like whenever Adam was in the garden, whenever he sinned, he hid from God because he said he feared. Sometimes when we foul up, we really feel bad about it, and we feel like we're so far away from God. I used to think, oh Lord, is this a 3-day or is this a 3-month? Or, you know, I can't come into God's presence. I mean, I've really fouled up. You know, I feared that something bad was going to happen to me. This is before I understood who my daddy really is. And I had wrong ideas about Him, you know, but He continued dealing with me until finally I had the revelation that it's not about what I've done, it's about what Jesus has done. Mm-hmm. It's not about what I do, because He's still seeing me in Christ Jesus. And He, when He looks at me, He sees Jesus because I'm in Him.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Amen.
Do you see that now? He doesn't relate to us based upon us. He relates to us totally because of His relationship with Jesus, and that's who we've become. Now, I'm not saying we're God, but that's who we have become on this earth, because we're inhabited by Him and we are in Him. And we have become one. And the whole purpose that He said in John 17, so that the world would see us, that the Father loves them the same way. Let's go over to Colossians 1:27 and remind ourselves again, right? Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Everybody there? Chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. It said, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The confident expectation of good and His glory, which is His view and opinion. And His view and opinion is the only thing that matters. But other people think of us, really, unless you allow your relationship to them to affect it, has no bearing on us at all. It's our Abba Father, what He thinks about us and how He views us, really is the determining factor for all eternity. And through this, you can see Christ in you, the hope, the confident expectation of that glory that He gave Jesus, that it has become ours now. And God's view of us is exactly the same as He has of Jesus, because we're in Him. We were baptized in Him. We were made into Him at that time. We became part of His body. And He can't look at us any different now because He chose to do it that way. Even when you've just committed the worst sin that you've ever done in your life. Now, am I making light of sin? No. Sin, past, present, and future, just as Pastor Henry saying this morning, has been dealt with in Christ Jesus whenever we died. Now, we're talking about the noun sin, whenever we talked about it in Romans 6, the noun sin. Not the verb sin, doing something, sinning. The place where we resided, it says that we were slaves to sin. It was like we had a residence. We lived over here. This is a residence called sin. When Christ came, he died. It says that we died. When he arose, we arose. We arose where? To go be in him, right? We have a different residence now. We don't live over there anymore. Where is our residence now? In righteousness and holiness. Amen. Everything that Christ is, he is our residence now. In him, we're no longer a resident of that sin place. Amen. The now. Okay? Do we sin? Yes, we missed the mark. But that doesn't define us anymore. We're not bound to that. We're not slaves to that anymore. It can't rule our lives. We are in him now. And we are sanctified, purified, holy. And God sees us exactly that way. Even whenever we foul up. So your salvation is no longer in question upon what you do or don't do or what you think or what you say. It's all based upon the finished work of Jesus Christ, that when you accepted him, you got it all. You got him. So therefore, you got it all. Oh, man. I think I might take off in just a minute. Now, let's go back over to 1 John 4. And I think this will all come together in your mind a little bit better, because I've seen people's eyes whenever I've said a few things, and it's like, that'd be good if that was true. 1 John 4, and we'll start with verse 15. It says, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. I thought you just said we're in Christ. You are, but he says that the Father and the Son are one, and the Holy Spirit is one. And then he says, you're included in that too. Since you're in Christ, you become one with all of us. So, a little extrapolation there. Verse 16, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Verse 17, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Now, can we be the same in this world if we've been made one? By God's doing, not by anything that we have done or not done. Thought or not thought, said or not said. No. All we've done is we've received Christ Jesus as our Savior, and God has placed us in this position. We didn't earn it. Mm-hmm. It's a free gift. And it says that as he is, so are we in this world. In the day of judgment, I don't think it's at the end. I think it's judgment that we receive sometimes in this earth from being in the earth realm. Mm-hmm. And during that time, as Christ Jesus, not what he was whenever he walked the earth, but as he is right now, seated at the right hand of the Father. Yeah. Yes. Yes. King of kings and Lord of lords. Everything under his feet. Do you see your position now? A little bit different. Even when the winds blow, the storms come against you, people don't like you. They say bad things about you. It's okay. Because your foundation is in him.
Good. Yes. Beautiful.
Your foundation is in him. And your heavenly Father doesn't view you any differently than he does Jesus. You're about to shout, aren't you? Man. So, that's what baptism into Christ, briefly, it gives you an image there to go back and reference everything in your Christian life from.
Yes.
He baptized you. He's the one that made you sit in Christ Jesus to be clothed with Him, to become one with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And on this earth, as you go, in times that stuff comes against you, He's reminding you, as Jesus is victor over all situations. See, you don't fight for victory. You fight from victory.
Yes.
The good fight of faith. Mm-hmm. You fight from victory because that's who you are now. Mm-hmm. That's your identity in Christ Jesus. You are already victorious over death, hell, the grave, everything. In Him, you have been made that victor. So you take your position in Him, and all these other things go immediately under your feet. Are you seeing that?
Mm-hmm.
That's what the baptism into Christ means. So whenever you think about that and see that in Scripture from now on, all these things should flash through your mind. I'm more than a conqueror now. This is what He's made me. As Jesus is, so am I in this world. Even though it may look like all hell's breaking loose, you are the victor.
Yes.
I don't care what it is. You have the victory in Christ. Amen. All right. We're going to go briefly over to water baptism. And let's go to Matthew 28. And this is where we're instructed here of what we're supposed to be doing, right? Because of what Christ did in us, then we can go, right?
Amen.
And let's preface in verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Now, if you're one with Him, what is He saying?
Amen.
You have my authority. You have my power on heaven and in earth. I did not say that we're made God. I didn't say that. But in Him, we have His authority. We have His power. We have everything that He is residing within us. And we can flow with that. But we do have a decision to make. Are we going to? Do we believe that? Do we really receive that as our true identity in Christ Jesus? And this is the foundation that we're talking about for the Christian life. And I think back about it, that so many years, I didn't know that's who I was.
Mm-hmm.
And I was tossed by every wind of doctrine, everything that came by. You know, I thought I understood it, but then I'd get knocked down. And I wonder sometimes if I'm ever going to get up, because I didn't really know who I was. I was not grounded in the truth of who Christ is and who He is in me and who I am in Him. But praise God.
Amen.
Today I know different. It says, because all authority has been given to me, meaning Christ, in heaven and in earth, He says to us, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Now, there's a lot of discussion about how to be baptized and have to get rebaptized because you weren't baptized a certain way, a certain name, and all this other kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whenever we talked about an encounter with God resulted in the Old Testament to altars being built, they had an encounter with God and they built an altar to honor that encounter with their daddy. They didn't know Him as daddy at that time, but we know Him now. And it reminded them of the encounter. Every time they saw this altar, they remembered what happened in that spot and how God came and dealt with them about specific things. So every time they saw that, it put it in remembrance, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so then later on they had things, feast, like they had different things like the Passover meal. At the Passover meal, what did they celebrate? Deliverance from Egypt. It all had symbols, types, shadows, whatever you want to call them. And they would remember how God had delivered them from the Egyptian slavery and rescued them and put them across the waters that parted. All these things they remembered each time they celebrated the Passover. Now, they said to do that every year at a certain day. Mm-hmm. Each year they would celebrate that and remember. Now, after Jesus led them in the Passover meal, he says, now, we're gonna have a new celebration. What was it? The Lord's Supper, right? The Eucharist. And they broke bread and drank. He said, this is my body, which is broken for you. This is my blood, which was shed for you. What is the remembrance there that Jesus wanted people to remember each time that they took communion? Anybody remember? What is eating and drinking? It's our life, our sustenance. This is how we live, by eating and drinking. We breathe in too. But he's saying that, abide in me, eat and drink of me. I am your life, I'm your sustenance. Just as the natural body needs food and drink, I'm your spiritual sustenance. Eat and drink of me. Depend upon me. You cannot depend upon yourself, because things will come along in life that you can't handle. But in me, and reminding yourself that you're one with me, that you abide in me and I in you, then you already have the victory over everything, even though it may look like you're about to lose. I'm telling you the truth here. Remind yourself. Remembrance. That's what he's saying through these different baptisms that we're going to talk about. So whenever you look at that, you say, well, okay, the other ones, he had them each year they did this time. Why didn't he say something about eating and drinking and having communion? Well, number one, we're no longer under the law. How about the water baptism that we're about to talk about? How many times did we get baptized into Christ?
Once.
All right. Mm-hmm. So he says, as a picture of what happened in your life, I want you to do this once. He didn't say do it all the time. But every time we remember back to that point at which we're baptized, even if we didn't understand it then, from this day forward, you'll understand what it signifies, what the monument was in your life that was set aside to him, so that you remember what happened at that moment. Make sense? The other things that we celebrate on a regular basis, such as communion, is that he wants us to remember that he is our source. He is our provider. He's our all in all. And in him, we have everything that he is. And so that needs to be repeated over and over and over. Okay? Okay. All right. So let's look at... let's look at water baptism from now on as a burial service. You say, well, why didn't he bury this in the ground? Well, you wouldn't have lived to come up unless he raised you up, right? You can't breathe that soil very good. You can't breathe water either. If you hold your breath long enough, you can get it. You can make it until you're raised up, right? And that's the reason we're dunked under the water. Pastor Henry has done some baptisms for us here at the church. I'll mention it now. If there's anyone that wants to be water baptized over at the Cambry, we have permission from them to use their pool over there. And we do baptize whenever people want it. And it's a picture of what occurred on the inside, the spiritual thing that happened to you. You were lowered into death with Christ, and then you were raised to newness of life in Christ Jesus, to a life with God the Father, His Son, and the Holy Spirit being one. Everything that you were stayed in the water. It stayed in the ground. It stayed buried. Everything that He is in you raised up to newness of life in Christ Jesus. That's who you were. This is who you are now.
Yeah.
And it's a picture to everyone around you, but also, more importantly, it's a picture to you every time you remember being baptized in water of who you are in Christ now. Your true identity now is entirely different than that person that went under the water. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So, any type of baptism, any type of service that we take place in, an ordinance or whatever, it can only mean something to us if we receive it by grace through faith. Otherwise, it's just motions that don't have any real meaning. But you can receive things in water baptism whenever you understand what it signifies. And I know of people that have gotten born again and they wanted to be baptized. And whenever they went down, they had some things in their life that was really messed up. And whenever they came up, they believed that they were whole, and they were. It all stayed in the water. And when they came up to newness of life, they didn't have all this baggage that they've been dealing with for a lifetime. It was gone because they received that experience through grace by faith. Amen? So it's a powerful service whenever you understand the meaning of it and why the Lord wants us to participate in it. And it's one of the first things most people in the book of Acts, you can go through there, that they received Christ as Savior. A lot of them spoke in tongues then, and we'll talk about that next week. But the thing is, they had faith for what it required of Jesus to do in their lives because of who they are now. And so they saw themselves different, and they, by grace through faith, they rose up that new person, free of all that mess. Amen. Let's go back to Romans 6. And I want you to see some things in there. It mentioned about this old man. I know a lot of people think that we have two natures, the sin nature and God's nature now. But what does it say? It says that the old nature has passed away. If you read back through the entire chapter in 6, and it says that the residence that we used to have, the noun, sin, over here, we've moved out of that. We no longer live there. We've been in newness of life in Christ Jesus now. We're in total righteousness because of the gift. This is where we reside. So the noun, sin, no longer has control over us, period. All right? Okay, so it says that because of that, number 12, verse 12 in chapter 6, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in its lust. Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead and your members as instruments of the righteousness of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. I don't know how it could be any clearer than that. The strength of sin is the law. And the law was given for a purpose to show us that we need a Savior. And it does it perfectly. But that's the reason it's called the ministry of death and the ministry of condemnation. Because it was weak through the flesh. And the flesh says, by God, I will too. You tell me I can't do it, that's the first thing I want to do. But you're not here anymore. It says that you have been placed over here in Christ Jesus, and He sees you as righteous and holy and above all this stuff, and it does not have control over you ever again. Unless you try to live by the law. And then the law will do its perfect work because it will condemn you. And it will strengthen sin in your life if you try to live according to the law. Do you see that? The law is good, it's perfect, it's holy. But the purpose that it was given is so man would see his need for a Savior.
That's right.
Because He wanted to set us free in Christ Jesus. That's the only way we can be free. Because if not the Ten Commandments, it will be man's laws that you will be trying to live by. Do good, get good. Do bad, get beat. And that will condemn you too. It's called the elements of this world. Over here, you're free from all that because it says that you're not under law, you're under grace now. Grace is His ability being released into your life so that you have the ability to be who you are in Christ Jesus. Because it's only by His power, who He is living through you, that you can be over here and not over there.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
Oh, I've had such a fun time with this. For those people that think that we have the two natures still, I want you to understand, Adam died.
Yes.
And everything that deals with Adam, Adam died, and all his influence over there. And we were raised to newness of life. We're over here in Christ Jesus,
yes,
who is the last Adam.
Yes.
We live in Him. We have His life now.
That's right.
Not the Adam life at the beginning. That was all fouled up. Let's look at a couple more scriptures and we'll wind it up. Let's go back over to Colossians 2. I want this imprinted in your heart so vividly that each time you think about it, all these scriptures will just come flooding back to your mind and you'll see that picture of who you are now in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
In verse 12 it says, let's go back to 11. It says, "In Him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ." You put off that person over there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then it says, "Buried with Him in baptism, which you also were raised with Him through faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead." So you were buried with Him, and that man stayed over there, and it says you were risen with Christ Jesus through faith in the working of God. It was all God's deal. It was all God's working that did it on your behalf. We just went along for the ride. We received the gift by saying, "Jesus, I want you as my Savior. I can't do it. And I receive your love for me to be the person that I want to be, but I can't do it on my own." Of course, Romans 12, 1 and 2, who can quote it in here? "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is a good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." Amen?
Amen.
Now, what people misunderstood about the two natures is that we have a new spirit, but we have the same body and we have the same soul. Now, the new spirit is going to educate the soulish realm, the mind, will, emotions, the personality, as to who you are now in Christ Jesus by looking at the scriptures. Because it's all laid out, right? And as you know who you are, what you have, what you can do in Christ Jesus, then when the flesh says, "But I want so-and-so," then the soul and the spirit say, "That's not who you are anymore." Ah, okay. Well, I don't act that way anymore. No, because that's not who you are anymore. You're like Jesus on the earth now. He flows through you now. Your identity has changed. That's not the person that you are anymore. And it reaffirms this all through the Bible. Let's look at one last scripture and we'll close. 2 Corinthians 3:18. And I reiterate what I've said plenty of times in here. Don't take my word for anything. Go back and look them up for yourself and let the Holy Spirit deal with you personally, give you your own personal revelation, because then nobody can talk you out of it.
That's good to know.
And then you'll receive everything that the Scripture says that you have.
That's right.
Because you got it directly from Him,
yes,
not from another person. Okay, in verse 18, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, he's talking about the Word of God, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. That same image is the image of Christ in you, the hope of glory. His image is imprinted on the inside of you. And He's saying, as you view Him in the Scriptures, who you are in Him, you will be transformed into that same person here on the earth. And you'll walk as He walks, you'll talk as He talks, and you'll think as He thinks, because that's who you are now in Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.